You're listening to All Talk 1220 KLDW AM. I am Alex Fenock. This is the Alex Fenock Show. And this hour, we are going to be talking about the end of the world. Is it coming? Is it here? Are these tsunamis that we're seeing and the earthquakes and the war, is this all signs of a coming end time? My guest today will be discussing that, and you are welcome to get in and on the discussion, ask any questions, make any points you'd like. The phone number to be a part of the show are 636-583-5155. 636-239-3355, 1-800-583-1220, or 636-938-3700. You can also reach me via email at klpwam@klpw.com. That's from the Internet Specialist Web Access. My guest this hour is the former pastor of the Worldwide Church of God and pastor and founder of the Church of God. His name is Ronald Wineland. Mr. Wineland, thanks for being on the air with me. I appreciate it.
Yes, glad to be here.
So there's a lot of talk about end times, a biblical term for future prophecy, eschatology gets tossed around if you listen to Christian radio. Are we in the end times? Are we anywhere close?
Yes, we are. There have always been things like hurricanes, volcanoes, tsunamis, and so forth. And generally, because of those things and wars, because so much is said in the Bible about an end time that a lot of people through the ages have said it's the end time, but we are now at the period of time that's the end of 6,000 years that God gave to mankind, and we are at that point in time.
Now, where do you pull that number from, 6,000 years that God gave mankind?
Well, there's a basic 7,000-year plan that God has for mankind, and just like the seven-day week, it's designed around that, that 6 days were given to man to go about his business and so forth, the seventh day is God's. And the same thing is true with the 7,000 years, or 6,000 years he allotted to mankind, and the last 1,000 is the time that Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes the kingdom of God on earth.
And this is what we're going to be talking about. Let me give out the phone numbers once again. If you want to dive in, I would welcome you to. It's 636-583-5155, 636-239-3355, 1-800-583-1220, or 636-938-3700. So let's dive into what you're saying here. Let's pull out some of the proof. Where do you get the idea? Where in Scripture can you find the 7,000-year plan explained?
Well, again, it has to do with things about prophecy, a day for 1,000 years as far as God's plan is concerned, mm-hmm. and the seven-day week and so forth. It's a lot of different ideas out here about what God gives is true and so forth out of Scripture. We have thousands of different ideas out here in traditional Christianity, and the reality is if there's one God and one way and one truth, only one's going to end up being right when it's all said and done. And basically, that's where we're at the end of 6,000 years, that God is getting ready to intervene to show people what is the truth. And that's why over the past few months here, and since the book that I've written came out in the middle of the summer here and started being advertised more fully in the fall here, the prophesied end time is that events like what happened in the Indian Ocean are going to become greater in magnitude, whether they be natural disasters or acts of terrorism, that they are coming, and they are coming here to the United States, but they're going to be increasing over the next year. And the 3 years that follow that, they're going to be very extensive right here in the United States. And this is just the beginning. And it's not that it is a specific a sign of itself of what happened over there. It is just part of what's going to take place. They're going to increase in magnitude and frequency.
And so it's not a cause or an effect in and of itself. It's just a symptom of a larger thing is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's because we are there at that time.
Now, you're saying that these things are going to happen in the United States. Is there a reason you're so sure that these things are going to happen inside the United States?
Yes, primarily because a lot of people don't understand that the United States is one of the primary countries mentioned in Scripture. It doesn't say the United States. It tells very clearly who we are. If people know anything about the history and so forth of things throughout Scripture, and we are the greatest nation the world has ever known, the most powerful. It was prophesied to exist at the end time. We are that nation. It is the first nation that falls when things begin to happen. We are not going to be a single greatest nation any longer after a short period of time here. We're going to have a demise. And Europe is going to arise. There are going to be 10 nations that arise over there. That's the beginning of World War III, the last 3.5 years of man on earth in the sense of living by his own way and his own government, man will continue on. But there's going to be a power of Russia and China and so forth, some of those nations over there that rise up as well to, they will be the primary ones that fight against Europe and Europe against them.
Where, now, you can go ahead and lay the scripture on me if you would like, but where can we find this in the Bible? Where is America mentioned? Where is the rise of Europe?
Okay, I'll tell you a bit of the history here. This is all outlined in the book there because there are many scriptures that talk about it, but very basically, when people hear the word Israel, they think of the Jewish people in the area of the land of Judea, where Jerusalem is now at this time. They don't understand that the first time in Scripture that it talks about the Jews, uses that word, it says they're at war with Israel. Well, how is it that the Jews are at war with Israel if they're the same people? Well, they're not the same people. There were two nations. The kingdom split up. 10 of the tribes, if you will, or families that formed into a nation, formed into a single nation, that became known as Israel. They were to the north. Judah was left in the south, which is the Jewish people, with Jerusalem. And God warned both of them about different things at various times through the prophets. Both were taken captive. Israel was taken captive first. They were the nation of the north, and they were the Assyrians conquered them, and they brought in the Samaritans. That's why the country of Samaria. So when you read about in the time of Christ, Samaritans, that's where they came from. The Israel was taken out, but where they were taken, that much larger people, group of people, much larger than Judah, they were taken throughout Europe, and they migrated to Western Europe, to the United States, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. We are Israelite.
I believe that's what's known as the diaspora, if I remember my history correctly, the migration of the Jews.
Yeah, there's a great deal in history about it. A lot of people don't understand it when they follow it, but those 10 tribes became known as the Lost 10 Tribes of Israel throughout history. They're not lost. They are here. It's kind of interesting, too, to point out that a lot of people don't understand that the throne, you know, Jesus Christ, even his name, I know a lot of people don't like to talk about God and so forth, but the reality is what's coming is because of God putting us on earth and the time he's allotted to us. But one of the things a lot of people in traditional Christianity, they refer to Jesus as the Christ, Jesus Christ. They don't even know what the word Christ means. And they don't understand it's the same word for Messiah. It means one who has been anointed. He is to be king. Even at the very, when Jesus Christ was here, that's the grounds that the Jewish people at that time found to bring to the Romans so that the Romans would put him to death. And it was that he was claimed to be a king. And so Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" And he said, "To this end was I born, but my kingdom is not of this age."
Well, hold on. Let me ask you a question. This might be semantics, but I thought the reason wasn't that he claimed to be an earthly king. I thought the reason he was brought was blasphemy, that he claimed to be God.
Well, the Romans weren't going to kill him basically on that reason. The reason they put him to death was because of the talk about being a king, because that was you couldn't do such a thing, obviously, under the Roman occupation. And so that gave the grounds for putting him to death. He said that was the reason I was born. They didn't understand what he was saying. And most in traditional Christianity don't understand what he's saying, because the reality is he is coming back again. This time, not as a Passover lamb to die for the sins of mankind, this time as a king, and it talks about that he's going to bring war with him as well. He's going to conquer, put an end to what's happening at the very end when Russia and China and those nations come up against Europe. He's going to intervene in the area called Megiddo. That's why it's called Armageddon. A lot of people get off on that, but it's just different things that they bring up about it. But it's reality that those nations have come together for a head-on confrontation with each other. That's when Jesus Christ intervenes, destroys several, over 200 million people at one time there that's gathered together for a war. They're destroyed, and God's kingdom is established on that day. But he's coming here to reign for 1,000 years. People think everybody's going off to heaven. Well, they're not going off to heaven. When people die, they don't go to heaven. They're just dead and in their graves, and they're waiting for a resurrection later on.
So you don't believe that there are people in heaven currently? You believe that the gates of heaven are closed, that heaven didn't...
Mankind, no man, Jesus Christ himself said in John 3, he said, "No man has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven." That was 4,000 years after man had been on the earth for 4,000 years when Jesus Christ came. And even Peter, on the day of Pentecost, told the Jewish people, he said, King David is in his sepulcher, and to this day he's dead and buried. And then a little bit later, a few verses later, he said, "David has not ascended into the heavens." Because there were people back then, the Jewish people, that believed about this concept of man going to heaven. And so Jesus Christ said nobody goes to heaven. Peter came along and said, "David, of all people, he was a prophet. He wrote many of the Psalms that are prophecy. He was a king of Israel, Judah and Israel at that time when they were united. And he also was called a man after God's own heart. Of all people in the Bible, if David hadn't ascended into the heaven, a righteous man in that, of that magnitude used by God, what about, you know, why isn't he there? And that was the point. Nobody is going to heaven. It's just like the word hell. A lot of people have a concept that people who don't live right, bad people, go to this eternal place of torment. You know, that's a fiendish, sick concept. It's not what God gives. God does not get pleasure out of suffering of human beings. Very clearly in the Bible, the word hell has a modern English interpretation by Christianity, but it isn't what the Bible says. In the Hebrew, the word is Sheol. In the Greek, it's Hades, and it simply means a hole in the ground. That's what happens to people when they're buried. They're put in a hole in the ground, and that's all the words mean. That's all the word hell means in the Bible.
So, this is a little bit of a divergent tangent, but let me take this with you. If there is no hell, what happens in your belief to the unbeliever? Is there eternal punishment, or what?
Well, I'll just tell you something that's not going to be real popular, but the reality is, just because people say the name of Jesus Christ does not make them a believer in what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ, when he came along, there were a lot of people who thought they were believers of God. Jesus Christ condemned every religious group at that time. He called them hypocrites, snakes in the grass, and so forth, because they did not represent the truth of God. He would do exactly the same thing today. People have gone away from the truths of God. They have gone away from, basically, they really accepted one primary religion that split away or left the truth, and that is the Catholic Church. In 325 A.D., it's the Catholic Church that established Easter instead of Passover observance. And because they said that Jesus Christ was resurrected on a Sunday morning, that therefore we should start observing the Sabbath on Sunday morning. And so the authority of most of traditional Christianity for even keeping Sunday is the Catholic Church. It's not in Scripture, and even the Catholic Church acknowledges that. It was by the authority of the Pope. There's no scriptural basis for that in the Encyclopedia for the Catholic Beliefs. They make it very clear that they are the ones that had the authority to change it, that there is no scriptural authority for changing the Sabbath. And that's true. There is no scriptural authority. So a lot of what's taught today is not what is true and what is right. And that's what God is getting ready to intervene, because every religion is at the heart and core of man's problems. Every religion on earth is at the heart and core of man's problems. And that's what God is getting ready to intervene. In 6,000 years, he has not shown himself, revealed himself, like he's getting ready to reveal himself to mankind. And
before we're getting close to the break,
sure.
Let me restate the question, because I didn't really get an answer. In your belief, you said that you don't necessarily believe in hell, and we've talked about what determines a believer, what determines an unbeliever. But if there is no hell, as most people describe, what happens to the unbeliever when they die?
Okay.
No.
First of all, all human beings, God is intended as a whole for all human beings that they live in a physical body twice. Everybody who has ever died will be resurrected again. They await the resurrection. That's the message of the Bible, that everyone's going to have a resurrection. All those in the past 6,000 years who are dead, there are only 144,000 who are going to be resurrected when Jesus Christ returns. And it talks about those who are going to come with him when he returns, 144,000 specifically. No more. They're the only ones who have ever been changed from mortal to immortal and not have to live into a physical body a second time, except for Jesus Christ, obviously, the first to be resurrected. But all the rest of mankind, at the end of the 7,000 years, at the end of 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be a massive resurrection. Those who have ever lived are going to be resurrected to learn what is true. They will have experienced what it's like to live under man's rule, and they will be able to see by evidence then the things that God has done in 1,000 years, and they will be able to understand and know the truth and what is right from God, and that will be their time for salvation. It's not now. God is not trying to save the world desperately right now. Christianity and others, that's why they send missionaries in other places of the world, so people will just say the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. That isn't what saves you. It's by a way of life you live, and by being called of God to that. It takes God to be a part of it, and that's what he's getting ready to do, to give people that opportunity.
All right, my guest, Ronald Weiland, we need to take a break for news. Mr. Weiland, can I ask you to hold on for
me? Sure.
We've got more. We've covered a lot of ground, and there's a lot more to cover where it's in tricky areas, and I want you to be a part of the show. As we come back, I'll give you the phone number so you get a part of the show. You're listening to All Talk 1220 KLBW AM. I am Alex Pinnock. We are talking about the end of days, the end of times, the end of the world. Relates to biblical prophecy. What can we look for? Are these tsunamis, earthquakes, and these storms, and all the war, and all the other things that we're seeing, are they interrelated? Or what's going on? That's what we're talking about. And you could be a part of the conversation. Let me give out the phone numbers if you'd like to call in. Any question, any comment whatsoever is absolutely welcome. Don't feel like you don't have an intelligent thing to say or that you don't have anything to contribute. Anything is worthwhile. 636-583-5155. 636-239-3355. 1-800-583-1220. 636-938-3700. Email is klpwam@klpw.com. My guest this hour, Ronald Weiland, former pastor of the Worldwide Church of God, pastor and founder of the Church of God, author of the book, The Prophesied End Times. Mr. Weiland, thanks again for being with me today.
Yes, thank you.
We've covered a lot of ground already. Whenever you talk about this end of the world, this, the biblical prophecy, it's a pitfall where you can stop and get mired in one little question and spend hours and hours and hours discussing it. And I want to try and just keep it moving. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, it seems like Tim LaHaye has written a series of books, the Left Behind series, that are being just devoured by people, and people are talking more and more about the end of the world. Is that a symptom of the end of the world, or is that something that's been going on for a while?
Well, there have been things like that out there, but it is growing right now because there is a sense that there is something deeply wrong in what's taking place. There are more concerns, more fears of things, because they see certain things that are happening in the world fitting into some of the things that are said in prophecy. And so people are becoming more concerned, there's more of it in the media and so forth. And starting with, really, 9/11 shook a lot of people up, and it should have. What we're doing in Iraq, is shaking a lot of people up. So it's just continuing, and the reality is that is where we are. And there are going to be a lot of people come out and say a lot of things about the end time, but really people need to know what to do, where to go, what is right when it starts happening, because it's vital that people understand fully why it's happening, what they need to do. And that's why I wrote this book, and it came out in the summertime here, is because there are things in there that people can do, and they need to understand it. That's why in the interviews and so forth I've been warning people about what's going to happen in the following 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the proof of where God is working, frankly.
So you said the following 4 years. Are you comfortable putting a date on some of these things, on when some of these things will happen?
I'm telling you that this is what we're to watch. This is what we're to watch now.
Okay.
We're to watch events escalate in magnitude and frequency, and they're going to become stronger and stronger, and they're going to start hitting right here in the United States in a very powerful way. There is a period of time called the Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years before Jesus Christ intervenes. At the very beginning of that, God is going to make it abundantly clear to some, not to the whole world, but some people will begin to be able to receive what is true at that point. There are going to be two individuals come on the scene. They're called His two prophets, His two end-time witnesses. And they're going to begin telling things that are going to come to pass. They're going to call on things to come to pass along with the natural disaster and the World War III that are going to be far greater in magnitude than what Moses and Aaron did when the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt. So it won't be a mystery any longer what God is doing for those who have the ears to listen. And there are things that people need to do, because this is not a small thing. When that tribulation begins, on the day that it begins, a third of this nation is wiped out in one fell swoop. Within the first 6 months, nearly, there are going to be nearly two-thirds of our population die. This is not a small thing. This is a horrifying thing that's going to take place. And that's only the beginning of it in the world, because it first starts right here in the United States, and then it goes all over the world. When Asia unites, God says that a third of all mankind are going to be destroyed by that army alone, by what China and Russia and some of those nations over there do when they unite. So we don't live in nice times. These are horrifying times. There's an awesome, beautiful time coming behind it. It's called the good news of God's kingdom, of Jesus Christ coming back. The reality is, technology has been withheld from mankind until this end time. And the reason being is because God knew what man would do with it. We have misused everything we've ever had, and generally for war eventually. And that's where we are. We would annihilate ourselves if God did not intervene exactly when He does.
So you're saying that when the armies unite and we're going to lose a third of the population and one third will be wiped out by the armies of Asia when they unite. Are you saying, are you postulating that it's going to be done with nuclear weapons, nuclear arms?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of nuclear weapons in the beginning, but they're not going to use all of them. Obviously, if we have the ability of annihilating all life on Earth 40, 50 times over by the amount of nuclear weapons we have on Earth, the reality is there will be some nuclear conflicts. Look what happens if the United States is no longer the predominant power in the world. If we have a fall by things that happen here, if Europe steps up and begins to fill a void, what do you think India and Pakistan are going to do? What do you think China and Taiwan are going to do? There are nations that are going to begin flexing their muscles in a very powerful way. And when they start doing that and Europe becomes strong and begins conquering as they're going to conquer, because it's World War III, it's prophesied. It was prophesied there would be one more revival of what's called the Holy Roman Empire. And that's going to be it. And they're going to start conquering themselves and different nations. And it's a horrifying time that's coming. It's a World War III, and there will be a lot of nuclear weapons, but they won't. That's why these two armies actually come together at the very end of the 3.5 years in the area of Iraq and all down through the area of the Valley of Megiddo, because they cannot continue to use their nuclear weapons because they know they would annihilate themselves. So they come together in a head-on confrontation, on just strictly militarily, head-on, you know, as far as tanks and soldiers and so forth. But when it really comes down to it, that day, neither one of those armies is going to lose that war. So when it really comes down to the very end, they would push the button that would end up destroying all of mankind, and that's what God is not going to allow. That's the very day he intervenes.
You said there's going to be a revival of the Holy Roman Empire that's going to be World War III. Do you have any idea what the trigger for that World War III event is going to be?
Well, it's going to have a great deal to do with when we fall as a nation. If Al-Qaeda, rather than flying two jets into two buildings, if they had a nuclear weapon go off in New York, if they had one go off in Chicago, if they had one go off in Washington, D.C., the Pentagon, where on earth, what kind of ability would we have as a nation to function? What are we left vulnerable? What would happen if it goes off, if you go off in some other nation, some other cities? That's the type of thing that's going to take place, because we are going to be crippled quickly. And that's when Europe is going to arise, thinking they're doing a good thing because someone's got to step in to take control. And so for 50-some years, this church has been telling people that Europe is going to come together, even right after World War II. And people thought, you know, Mr. Armstrong, who mentioned these things and talked about these things, they thought he was nuts, because he said Europe is going to arise again. He said that they're going to unite as far as a currency, as far as nations and a single government, and also they will have a military of their own. Those things have already, it's all there. The framework is there. The euro is a very strong currency. As a matter of fact, it's going to become a whole lot stronger here. That's why it keeps climbing, because it is a part of something prophetic. The dollar is going to decline, and these are just the beginnings of some of these things, but it's going to happen swiftly. We don't have long to wait.
We've got more to talk through, more to discuss on this issue. We need to take a quick break. I ask you to hold on, sir. Once we come back, once again, I want you to invite you to be a part of the program. More to come. You're listening to All Talk 1220. I'm Alex Fenock. This is my show. We're talking about the end of the world. You're listening to All Talk 1220 KLBW AM. I am Alex Fenock. Thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it. We are talking about the end of the world, biblical prophecy, some things to look for. If you'd like to be a part of the show, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, make an observation, anything, feel free to call in 636-583-5155, 636-239-3355, 1-800-583-1220, or 636-938-3700. Email is klbwam@klbw.com. That's from our Internet specialist, Web Access. My guest this hour is a former pastor of the Worldwide Church of God, founder of the Church of God. He's written a book called The Prophesied End Time. His name is Ronald Wineland. Mr. Wineland, thanks again for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Yes.
So the recent earthquake tsunami happened in Asia around India. Does that fit into prophecy anywhere?
It does, in the sense of what I've been saying in the last few months here, is that this is the exact kind of thing we're to be looking for as specific events increase over the next year here in magnitude and in frequency. That's exactly a part of it. It's not by itself, but it is a part of a whole of what's going to take place, because it's going to begin to be made abundantly clear that there is a voice out here, that there is something to be listened to, and people need to know what to do and how to do it. And that's why I haven't even mentioned it yet, but people can get this book free. They can just go to our website, www.the-end.com. It's the dash between the words the and end, the-end.com, and we'll give it to you free. Also,
wow.
If they don't have the ability to, if they don't have a computer, they can go, if they have a Reader's Digest, it's on page 165, a full-page ad giving the address to write into, or they can pick up a Reader's Digest at a store or whatever, and it'll give the address in there, and it's free. Or they can go down to a bookstore and order it and get it there or whatever and pay for it, but might as well get it for free.
We've got to call it once again on the air. Let me go ahead and welcome them on. Hi, you're on the air with Alex Sinnock and Ronald Weinland.
Yes, if I'm understanding right on the talk show right now, he's talking about people that are buried, but what about the ones that just disappear or the ones that are cremated? In having the return or resurrection. And I'll get off the air and listen.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Weinland, were you able to
get a question? Yes, Billy, but it doesn't really matter how one dies, whether you're buried. The reason that word is used is because that's what happens to the majority of people. Majority of people are put into the ground. That's where we, if it's on a battlefield or whatever, people may die and decompose in time. The point is we return to the dust, the elements of the earth. And so whether a person is cremated or whatever happens to them, it's the same thing. We return to the dust of the earth.
And from the dust of the earth will be recreated?
Absolutely. God will resurrect us again into a physical body, healthy bodies, strong bodies. There will be no diseases, no deformities of any kind. People will be of a healthy age, and they'll have the opportunity to live in physical life once again, but not in man's world, but in God's world.
So in a way, and this is just kind of me reading something into this, I might be wrong, and if I am, you're free to call me on it. But it sounds like we'll be recreated into the form, the original forms of Adam and Eve, not like carbon copies of them, but the same physical structure that the first man and woman were supposed to have.
Well, we will, in a sense, we'll just have very healthy bodies. I mean, there are people who are born with deformities and so forth. They won't have those when they're resurrected. They will be able to be, you know, they're going to have faces, appearances, without problems. But however, if there were scarring or whatever it might be, people are going to be able to be recognized by people who knew them. Maybe at a different age and point, obviously, depending on when you knew them. But, you know, they're going to be at a young age and healthy. And that's what God's plan is for human beings, to live a second time. That's why the Bible, you know, you don't hear people when they talk about things in Revelation 20 and 19 and into there, when it talks about the second death. How on earth can there be a second death if there's not a, you know, you have to have a first death. And so how can you die a second time? Well, you have to be in a body again. And that's exactly what it's about. It's about the ability to live a second time. Not everybody has to die a second death. There are very few that will have to if they choose God's way at that time when they have the ability of knowing what God's way is and living by it. And the whole world as a whole will be moved to that. They'll desire that. You know, it's an awesome thing to recognize we're going to have one government. We're going to have people who are striving to live by God's law, not like today where, you know, just take one commandment alone. Don't commit adultery. Look at all the problems in society just because of people don't know how to get along with each other, you know. We put all those laws together, you know, don't lie, don't bear false witness. What an incredible world. That does away with politics and a lot of other things when people don't bear false witness and lie, you know. So
you mentioned before that one of the things you want to do whenever you have a chance to get interviewed, get your word out, is that you want to tell people what to look for and also what to do. We haven't touched on that yet, so I want to give you an opportunity. What are just some of the things people should do? How can you prepare?
Well, there's a lot. The primary thing is that people have to come. They have to come to understand why these things are happening after 6,000 years. What man has come to. And that there's a need, the age-old thing that God has told man over and over and over again, repent. But you've got to know what to repent of. People don't know what to repent of. They think that if they say the name of Jesus Christ and so forth, different things, whatever their beliefs are, that you know, they can be saved. That isn't how it works. You have to change. Repent means to think differently. That's what it literally means in the Greek. And so God wants us to begin to learn to think differently, to learn to think just like the law. People talk about, there are churches that talk about, you know, the commandments, they're harsh, they're bad, God did away with them. And you start asking them, you mean it's okay to kill other people? You mean it's okay to lie? Well, no, those are good commandments. And it always comes down to, well, you mean we should keep the seventh day Sabbath? No, that was nailed to the cross. Well, it wasn't. And that's what people have to learn, is we either obey God and seek to obey God in everything and do it His way. And people say, what does it matter? It matters because the God who put you on this earth told you how to live and what you should do. And if you honor and respect your God, you will live according to that. You will strive to live according to that. And man has not done so. And so we have come to a point in time for those who want to come through this, because I haven't told you the whole story of what's going to happen here in the United States. Mm-hmm. 2/3 of all the population will die within the first year.
Wow.
After that, the last third does not have it made. Only 10%. God makes it very specific. He said He'll bring 10% of the last third through it all. That means people are going to begin to repent. They're going to know what to repent of. They've got to turn from their own ideas that are false and turn to what is true. There are going to be two witnesses on this earth who are going to speak very powerfully about the exact same things I'm telling today. And they're going to be telling about those things, and people will have the choice then of whether or not they're going to accept that. And there will be 10 million people who begin to do so right here in this country.
We've got time for one or two more phone calls at 636-583-5155, 636-239-3355, 1-800-583-1220, or 636-938-3700. Email is klbwam@klbw.com. That's the Internet Specialist Web Access. So can you lay a timeline out? We've discussed the 4 years.
That's all I can give you right now. If people will continue to watch, they'll see these events unfold more around the world in the following year, some right here. But that next, the following 3 years after that, it's going to be starting to happen very powerfully right here in the United States. At what point that last 3.5 years begins, I can't give it to you, because God the Father hasn't even given it to Jesus Christ yet. That's when the seals are open. Jesus Christ is the one who opens the seals. 6 seals have been opened. The 7th seal hasn't been opened. But the day that it is the day we can know exactly to the day that Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. We don't know that yet, because God hasn't revealed it yet. But there are things we're preparing for and looking forward as far as what we need to be on the watch for. And those are the things I've outlined briefly here and more extensively in the book.
The current political climate of the world, how does this tie in within prophecy, and what kind of things should we look for as politics shift closer and closer toward the end
good,
of the world?
Good question. Primarily, something that fits into it very powerfully so. All of this began on 9/11. This whole process of what's happening here in the United States and our eventual outcome as a result of it started with 9/11. The world began to change focus at that time. Alliances began to be made. Europe begin to pull in more toward themselves. They are sick and tired of the United States in a very powerful way of what they feel is our arrogance. They want to have a greater say. That's going to lead into World War III before this is over. What's happening in Afghanistan and Iraq? We don't know what we stirred up over there. There is a prophecy in Islam those who have a belief in what's called a Mahdi at the end time. They have end time prophecies. And they believe that there's going to be an individual called the Mahdi who is going to arise, who is going to grow in stature and so forth amongst them, and help to deliver them from the infidel, from the oppressor. We are seen as that oppressor right now, and everything we do right now is not helping to stop what's taking place. It's actually increasing what's taking place over there. They are growing in leaps and bounds, and will continue to do so with individuals who are willing to die for their cause. And that's exactly what's taking place. They, matter of fact, this Muqtada al-Sadr, if you knew what his army was called, they called themselves Mahdi's Army. The reason being is because we don't even realize that influence of what they believe in the world is very strong in their minds, even though we don't believe that here. It doesn't change the fact that they believe in it, and they are looking for a Mahdi to deliver them.
Yeah. They've definitely got the fanaticism necessary to push their belief.
As a matter of fact, it's really interesting. If some people know certain news events and so forth and what they're listening to, there are some things Osama bin Laden took some heat over amongst his own people in the sense of their religious beliefs, because they felt that what happened with 9/11 was not giving enough time for repentance and for this nation to repent and for killing women and children and so forth. They found condemnation to that. But right now, because of what he said before the elections, that was our choice. And so they feel, there are many of those who feel, they have given us a choice now to repent as a people, and we have chosen to continue on our course by reelecting the president they despise. And so now they're holding us accountable. So now a lot of their religious leaders say, okay, now it's okay. Now it's okay to use nuclear weapons. Now it's okay to destroy on a far more massive scale. That's what's coming next, and this country is going to make 9/11 small in comparison.
The book that you've written is called The Prophesied End Times. You can go to the website www.the-end.com. It's the-end.com. Pick up a book free. You can also have the Reader's Digest on page 165. There's a free edge. You can also go to a bookstore and pick it up if you'd like to learn more, because, like I said, we've barely scratched the surface. Mr. Weinland, thanks very much for taking time to be with me on the program today and share your views.
Thank you.
For having you on.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Back with more. You're listening to I'll Talk 1220 KLBW AM. I'm Alex Fenock.